get right to our next guest, Dryden Pence. He's the CIO of Pence Capital Management. They are based in Newport Beach, California. You can't, it's just such a scam. That whole Newport Beach thing, I'm not buying it. Not at all. I'm not buying it. You got to be in the bowels of Manhattan is what I say. But Dryden joins us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. And we appreciate that. We point that Mr. Pence is an Army veteran, so we thank him for his service. I appreciate that. Dryden, you make your way all the way to New York City. We got the good weather for you. We also had some retail sales come out this morning. I don't know. I kind of feel like I look at the consumer. The consumer's doing pretty well. The consumer has a job by and large, but I know there's some, you know, there's some food insecurity out there. There's some big issues out there, but some of the macro data suggests that the consumer's doing okay. How do you think about the consumer? How does that impact how you guys, you know, go out there and pick stocks and allocate capital?
Absolutely. I think that the point of the matter is nobody told the American consumer don't fight the Fed. They have jobs, as you said. You also see people on Social Security got an 8% increase, and inflation's now below that. So you have 25% of the American economy who's on Social Security has gotten a pay raise. And so consumers are doing pretty darn well, and they have larger savings than they had prior to the pandemic. And so this continued consumer strength is really kind of powering through things. I think it's made the Fed's job a little tougher. Folks are out there spending money, and they don't seem to be backing off dramatically. Some, but not dramatically.
I do wonder about how much that will last, because there's sort of two things here. One is, yes, they've gotten a pay rise, but their dollars don't go as far as they used to. And the second thing is, you know, have we really seen the full impact of all the previous Fed hikes? I mean, is that you know, a squeeze that's coming down the road?
Well, I think you are right in that. I think that we probably have yet to see about 100 to 125 basis points of the hikes. The Fed can change their decision in over 2 days. The market reacts in 5 minutes. But American households and businesses take 6 to 9 months. And so we've yet to see about 125 basis points of these hikes come into the market. And I think that's what is really kind of causing this movement towards a pause coming up in the next meeting. We've got to give it time. We've got to give the American consumer time to catch up with the Fed. Otherwise, they could overreach a little bit.
All right, so what do? I got to put money to work here. I got a lot of cross currents out there. I got the Fed. I got a debt ceiling. I don't know if those knuckleheads in D.C. can get anything done. So what's an investor to do here?
Well, I think there's a couple things. The first one is stay short on your fixed income.
Stay short duration on fixed income.
Absolutely, right. Because I think the pause goes longer. We don't get a pivot until sometime in 2024. So you might as well stay short and not stretch it out. So that's the first thing. And the other thing is pay close attention to investing in the no matter what. We like defense sectors because we think that we're not going to have peace spontaneously break out all over the world. And NATO's got to increase their spending by 2%. So that's, you know, defense sector is good. We think China's coming back as, you know, oil's come down, but I think back half of the year we see that go back up. And then payments. Payments are an area where we like American Express because it's both luxury and it's also payments, and which in and of itself is kind of stands through the inflation thing.
You hear, you know, testimony like that, the pressure, and that just kind of brings to the forefront, you know, the banking challenges or the stress in the marketplace from the regional banks. How do you guys at Pence Capital Management think about that risk as you allocate capital? Were you ever in banks? If you were, did you sell your banks? What's going on?
We had very, very small positions in banks. And the issue here, when you talk about the three or four banks that have been a problem, all of them had some commonality of poor management. And it wasn't necessarily the regional banking sector entirely, but those banks had some unique issues. However, you can only invert a yield curve for so long. And I think that's one of the challenges that we have to look at. If the yield curve stays inverted this high for a very long period of time, you could continue to see some weakness in the banking sector. And I think that that's one reason why we've kind of stayed out of it. We had a very small position in it, and we still maintain probably like 1%. That's about it.
But now looking across at other sectors, I mean, do you feel like the pressure on credit conditions that followed the run on those banks Is that eased enough? Are there still issues to be worked through, or what's your sense there?
Well, I think that the tightening of credit across the system is doing some of the Fed's job for it. Just like early on, oil prices did some of the Fed's job for it, and then they went down. Now, tightening credit is doing some of the Fed's job for it, which again is why we think we've got a pause coming up. And I think that you know transitions create turbulence. We're transitioning to a new kind of regulatory environment. We're driving to transition to an environment where you're going to have to understand the consequences of an inverted yield curve for a long time. And so I think that this has added to the Fed's activities in terms of slowing down the economy and making credit a little more difficult. I mean, at the beginning of last year, we had more money going out wherever it needed to be and way, way too loose. The Fed was too late. And so now they're having to play catch up, and this is all part of it.
All right, given that background, fresh capital coming in, are there some sectors that you guys like right now? Are there some sectors you're staying away from?
Sectors we like are what we call the no matter what sectors. I mentioned defense earlier. We like those, and we like payments a lot because you know a defense appropriations bill usually gets paid, and people pay their credit cards in general. American consumers spending. So even though inflation is going up, payment sectors or companies like American Express are seeing a higher ticket charge. Well, that is accretive to their earnings, and so I think that this trend will continue. So we like those sectors a lot. I think the fact that interest rates are going to maybe stay higher for longer and we're not going to see this pivot that people are expecting near the end of the year could put some weakness on tech or in companies that are interest rate sensitive. You know, people betting on interest rates going down a lot this year are probably going to find themselves on the wrong side of a trade.
Now, let me ask you, internationally, is there an area that you like, a region that you like, or a sector that you like abroad that you don't like so much here?
Well, I think you see China opening back up in fits and starts, but I think it's not necessarily China that we would have an interest in, but you know Indonesia and those areas around that. And we think that eventually that Europe is going to begin to you know come out of this thing reasonably well. So in looking at that, we're still looking at the fundamentals of the consumer. Where are there consumers that have a lot of money? And they're going to spend it. So those are the kind of the sectors that we're looking at. I still would stay out of, at this point, I would stay out of the really deep emerging markets of somewhere in Central and South America and Africa at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of, so Dredd, in the Army, you earned 3 Meritorious Service Medals from the U.S. Africa Command. So you were stationed in Africa?
So what I had was the command of what they call the both Joint Transformation Command for Intelligence and then Africa ARE. So it was our intelligence operations.
Got it.
I wasn't stationed in Africa per se. Actually, the U.S. Africa Command was in Stuttgart, Germany. Nobody
really?
Nobody in Africa wanted us to have a base there. So it was, so you just tried to get in the same time zone. So it was
right.
Kind of awkward.
So what's that? Because a lot of folks will come in here and they'll talk about emerging markets and they'll talk about Africa. What's kind of your view having kind of studied it from a different angle, of course.
There's two big things. Most people have no clue how absolutely large Africa is.
Yep.
You could take you know almost North America and a couple other places and squeeze it in there, and it's just dramatically huge. The thing that they do is they have a real hard time around capital formation, and they also are kind of skipping generations of like everybody's bank is their phone, right?
Yep.
So they're skipping generations of capital formation, and they're very creative people, but they also have very difficult governance problems, and they're also getting themselves in trouble with their infrastructure because they spend and borrow a tremendous amount of money from China. China's so far ahead of us in Africa, it's laughable. And but the problem is these countries now have a tremendous amount of debt that higher interest rates are going to prevent them from being able to
service. So is that a strategic mistake for the U.S. not to have more investment there and more of a presence there, do you think?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so. We're behind. We're just, you know, you have an area of tremendous natural resources. You have, you know, hundreds of millions of people. You have a very rapid population growth. You have an area that really is kind of the next 200 years of what we can look for. And the United States is clearly, both from an investment standpoint and from a strategic security standpoint, probably, you know, we're 25 years late.
All right, Dryden, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate getting your perspective, which is unique to say the least. Dryden Pence, CIO of Pence Capital Management.